I don't know what it is, why so many episodes when we start, I immediately want to go into that like fake radio announcer voice.
Because you're excited.
Welcome to the Backpack Show, everybody.
64 degrees and misty here in Nashville.
We're going to just throw it to Todd in the helicopter. Oh, thank you very much. We're over the downtown. We see that there's a little problem on Route 3 on the way to the... Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I need a nap after talking to my neighbors. Listen, I saw an article about Dr. Nashley Cephas, and I said, oh, my gosh, I need to talk to this person.
Bonsoir.
But she's such a grown-up that it was like, you know, have your people talk to my people, and I'll filter you through a series of vents and gates.
She had to make sure you were real.
Make sure I was legit, because she's important. She's a doctor who works on artificial intelligence at Amazon. Here's what we're not going to talk much about tonight, doctoring at Amazon, because she takes her doctorness down to Jackson, buys 12 acres of land, and starts the beam path. So we're going to talk about what it means to come back to home, because that's crazy talk. How to like kind of impede and say, I need to push Jackson on the map as a tech spot, you know, compared to the other things. And she'll fight me with that and say, well, no, it already was, but it wasn't as a tech spot until Dr. Nashley came back to town.
And how you equip the community to take advantage of modern technology.
This is big. There's a lot of big themes in tonight. So
welcome to the Backpack Show.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Carrie Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
What a gang. Just remember, this is always like the Fight Club. If you were here for the first time, you have to say hi, because I won't know you're there, just like I didn't know Jane was here. But hi, Jane. Good to see you. Thanks for showing
up. You know that because I can display comments in StreamYard, because StreamYard is just that easy.
Oh, you know, that's interesting you say that, because we are sponsored by StreamYard. They're one of the people who sponsor the show. Whack. You can buy your own software for StreamYard and make a cool show just like this. Watch. Boom. There's an ad just like that. All you do is push one click. It's easy. This is inexpensive software. It works really well with most guests. We're going to have incredible sound tonight. I'm guaranteed. Sponsored by StreamYard. It's great. Hey, like us, but don't like our faces? Get an audio podcast. You can go anywhere that there's audio. Yes, you can go to iTunes, you can go to Google Play, you can go to Spotify, but we're hosted by Castos. Castos.com, putting peas in pods for a very long time, at least a couple years or so. There, we did two ads. We'll do a couple more in a little bit.
But hey,
right now we'll grab the Dr. Nashley Cephas and start asking a bag of questions. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
We are so excited. All the gates we had to pass through was worth it.
I had to pee in a cup.
Well, you just did that. Nobody asked you, which was weirder. Oh.
Well, right. And like, they offered that I had it if they needed it, but they didn't ask. That was awkward. So, Dr. Nashley Cephas, you most recently, for the last handful of years. Cephas.
Yeah, you had it right. Yeah.
Don't you F me up now. You... 5 years or so at Amazon, you're running a big chunk of their AI and how their AI doesn't accidentally code wrong for things like diversity or all the other things going on. Can you talk just a little bit in vaguely humanistic terms about what you tell the robots not to do over there?
Yeah, so I think as an AI expert at Amazon almost 5 years now, I like to explain what artificial intelligence actually is, what AI actually is to a lot of people, especially those who aren't in the tech industry or have no idea what these things are. So, contrary to popular belief, we actually use these things pretty much every day. If you have a cell phone, you have AI in your pocket. And so what AI actually does, it's another term that we use called machine learning. It actually is an algorithm or a computer that tries to act, see, speak, or even maneuver itself like a human. And so how does it know how to do this? Well, it learns from data that we feed it. And it learns from previous data, past data, the same way that we're able to predict on a day like today, it's cloudy, it's 75 degrees, it's probably not gonna rain. That's how we know what the predictions are. The same way with artificial intelligence and other technologies like speech recognition or face analysis and things like that. We know from previous data that we've seen that this is this person, or this is that person, or this is a cat, this is a dog, or this person is saying hello, this person is saying goodbye. It's because it's studying all this previous data that it's learning in this algorithm. And so that is the importance of knowing why it's so important to make sure that, for example, the data that is fed into these algorithms is very diverse, is very well representative of all the different things and users that will be a part of this whole user experience with that AI product.
I feel like you've never told anyone that before.
I think the whole reason why we're here is my passion for exposing others to technology, especially these emerging technologies that oftentimes get left behind in certain communities.
Right. So here's what, look at that perfect transition you have made. We're going to talk a little bit about what you know, coming back to Jackson, Mississippi, picking up 12 acres of land with a big chunk of your own money and a little bit of people seeding it as well, and saying, I think I'm going to make a place and I'm going to call it the Bean Path. Now, first, this has to be the thing that people ask you first in every stupid interview, and I hate to be them, but why Bean Path? Was this originally a long time ago some kind of coffee ground place or something? Or what beans are we talking?
Yeah, so I have gotten a question. So bean is actually a technical term in computer science when you're coding. It's actually like one component of something else. And it grows into something bigger, similar to how you have beans or seeds that you grow in the garden. It starts with something small and it grows and sprouts into something much bigger. And so we thought that with that double entendre kind of, that you could make a lot of things grow by just sowing it with the proper fertilizer, which that fertilizer is technical expertise. And so once people see that, once they figure out, how do I use technology and tools to help me in my everyday life? How do I excel my business? How do I try to figure out problems and create new inventions that help me and other people with these things that we deal with every day? Once you make that connection, we get a whole spark of innovation. The light bulb goes off in a person's head. And I'm just so excited when that happens. I wanted to see more and more of that. So that's why that's where we got Bean Path from.
But why there? Like, why go back home? Is it just because it is home for you and you know that the community there could really benefit? Or did it seem like just the right place for other reasons?
Right. So I think obviously, you know, Mississippi, we get a bad rap for a lot of things. Our harsh past, stereotypes. We have a lot going on in the government and policies that people don't agree with and don't necessarily feel inclusive. We recently just had the Confederate flag pulled down and replaced with a brand new flag, which is something that, you know, I was very proud of. But to be honest, I wasn't sure I was going to see that in my lifetime. And that's a problem. And so I wanted to make sure that I was being a part of the solution, coming back to Mississippi, helping us progress as being born and raised in Jackson, in the capital city, in the inner city, and also being someone who has been very successful in the tech industry across the nation. I've lived in New York City. I've been in Silicon Valley. I've been in Atlanta, where you've seen this tech ecosystem just sort of bud over the past, you know, several years. And I wanted to take that same thing, bottle it up, and take it back home, because someone has to start. You know, they often say what's on the bottom is what's holding you up. If we're often at the bottom of every list, somebody has to go there and help strengthen it and help create a better foundation for the generations to come. And that's what I wanted to do.
I feel like there's a few ways to go after this sort of a thing. When I was thinking about, you put a pretty significant amount of your own money into this, and two thoughts came to mind about that. One is that it maybe was easier for you to do this on your own instead of get some permission, instead of going around looking for all that kind of money, because it's really hard. And so often BIPOC and entrepreneurs don't get ad access to those funds. We've seen that multitudes of times on the show. We've had a lot of people who said that, you know, they were chasing down funding that they just felt like they were giving to other people, white people, more often than not. But when I read about what you were doing, I immediately thought of Shaquille O'Neal, because I know he's got like a gazillion investments, but he did it in a lot of food, for instance. He did Papa John's, which is weird to me, but we won't go into that. He did a whole bunch of other investments. And what I was thinking about was, you decided to do a different other route. You didn't make a whole bunch of pizza places and car washes and stuff like that. You said, I'm going to make people think about this place as a tech hub. That's a bigger lift. What made you feel that ambitious nationally?
Yeah, so I am tech. You know, in some rooms, when people look at me, that's probably the last thing they think about. But I know that I am tech, and I would like other people who look like me to also know that. And really, in terms of when you think about Mississippi, yes, there's the black and there's the white, but it's actually pretty diverse. And also in terms of background, education, political party, is actually much more diverse than people think, and much more diverse than the current systems and the you know, the systemic systems allow people to be, or seem to be. And so I know that, you know, with what I was trying to do, what I was trying to go back and understand, you know, how can I make a difference? One, I am different. I look different. I am in the tech industry. I have a whole company, one of the largest AI companies behind me. And so I was wanting to make sure that, you know, I'm doing whatever I can to also bring that exposure into a place that is not really had it before. And so one way of doing that, yeah, I can wait around for other people to, you know, jump on board or fund me, or I could take a big step and say, this is how much I believe in this. I'm willing to put up my own personal capital to get this project started. And one, that was probably a little bit more naive than I knew at the time, because this is, I never done a development project like this before. When we started the Bean Path, we were just working out of the local libraries. We didn't really have a space. But I wanted to scale what we were doing. And one way of doing that is to have your own space. And so I started looking for buildings, and that's when I found one. I really only wanted one building, but I found out that the same owner owned the whole, it's actually 14 acres, by the way. There's a slight update. It was 12.
Oh, you picked up some more.
Hey, now 14.
Land paradise.
And so
we have a campus.
Yeah, we have an entire campus, and believe it or not, think, there was an article released saying that it was a $25 million development. It's now, and we're about to announce this later this week, but it's now a $135 million development. We added new construction buildings. We added more residential places. We added more restaurants, more retail. We added on to our event center and our tech hub, innovation hub, where we're helping entrepreneurs and we're training people with workforce development through the Bean Path. And then there's also the for-profit side that will also funnel the funding from the for-profit over to the Bean Path nonprofit in order to keep it sustainable, so we don't always have to rely on grants. And so this project is very unique in that it really hasn't been done like this in a lot of places, period, not just in Mississippi. And so I thought it was very important to just say, this is how serious I am. I'm going to put up my own capital.
I have questions, but first, Elizabeth wants to know, what have you learned about economic development in a future industry hub?
So I know for a fact it takes, when they say it takes a village, it takes support. You have to get buy-in from a lot of people in order to change an entire economy. One thing that requires, of course, is myself. You can consider me the founder or the visionary or the one who believes, like the initial person who kicks it off, the subject matter expert. You also need the government to back you. You need the city and local officials. You need the state officials. Some of the funding, the federal funding, comes from, you know, the governor, and it trickles on down. You need to also get the community, which is probably most important. They often say, if you build it, they will come. Well, In some cases, you have to build it and then convince them why they should come, especially in terms of technology and a place that, you know, Jackson and Mississippi is very big on its music culture, is very big on its food industry. We're the fattest state, and we're proud of that. We're also big on arts and photography.
I'm doing my part for Tennessee.
It's a blessing and a curse, too. But I think that when you take those things that people are already into, you can't just say, hey, come learn how to code. Like, why would I want to do that? I want to go over here and do this thing. But come and learn how we can make your videos look top quality with, you know, not just 4K, but 8K. Come and learn how we can take a whole 3D world and transfer it into something that can help your business grow. Come and understand how you can invest in cryptocurrency or how AI can make your life a whole lot better. Even if it is video editing or baking cakes, like there's always a tech tool that can help you. And that's what we're all about. And so in terms of that whole economic development, it takes a lot of pieces, a lot of players to come together, the community, the government, the visionary, and also outside help and resources as well. So yeah.
But that's what's so interesting to me is you're creating like a sort of microcosm community where you've got this mixed use, like planned development with all these for-profit businesses and using that money to further the community development, you know, through the Bean Path.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's not a lot of like self-sustaining and supporting nonprofits that way.
Right. So it's funny but true, but I don't know if most people knew that the NFL, the National Football League, was a nonprofit, I think, up until like 2017 or something. And it was very profitable, obviously. And so,
well, yeah, they can turn a buck.
So if you take that model, a similar model, you say, okay, you know, how can we take a lot of the revenue that we can generate from, you know, different streams and then recycle that revenue back into the purpose and the initial goals of what the nonprofit is trying to do. And how do you make a whole business model and sustainable model out of that? And you want this to be a place where people can come and feel like they belong, right? This is different. This is not gentrification. This is not tearing down and pushing people out of the city. We're actually trying to bring diversity back into the downtown area. This is where the property is located. We're right at the edge of the Central Business District. There's so many colleges and universities in the area. There's really no place for a young person or young adult to live in the city that is, one, affordable, and two, somewhere that they would actually like to go and hang out. And so we're trying to change that, that whole vibe, that whole feel. That's kind of where it starts, right there in the capital city.
It's interesting too, when I was reading through the development plans about an arts and innovation center. Okay, well, fine by me. Entrepreneur center, that gets cool again. Co-working, private office spaces, the lounge and everything, loft apartments, like food truck park I saw at one point as well. So you're definitely going beyond getting a bunch of people some keyboard and mouse skills here. This is definitely something where you're showing a very human face to, you know, putting together a tech business, but saying, but it's going to all anchor on the fact that Jackson has some really smart minds and we're going to teach them how to really run that.
Oh, yeah. I think that there's really not much different between myself and a lot of the other people in the community there. I know that growing up, I didn't see anybody who was an engineer or a scientist and even know what that really was at the time until my eighth grade teacher. She sent me to a summer camp in engineering, and it was for a summer camp for girls, so we could actually focus on the work and not like boys. And so I remember my whole life changing in that summer camp and just learning about all the different types of technologies that you can use. What really fascinated me was computer engineering, how you can type these letters and numbers into a computer and control pretty much anything. We've seen people be able to shut down the gas line system, just by typing in some letters and numbers in a computer, which computers almost control everything from the water that comes out of your faucet to the electricity to the computer that we're all video chatting on mostly every day. And so I thought that was the best thing, and wasn't really thinking at the time that that was where the future was headed and that you know, job security and everything. I just thought it was cool. And so I just imagine if other kids had that same opportunity, if other individuals who were the slightest bit interested in AI or engineering or any of the other technologies and realizing how easy and how simple it is, and it's not this far-fetched thing that you is unattainable to you. I just want to be that catalyst and that person that shows up and says, hey, you should come check this out. You might like it. You might not. Either way, you'll be wiser for it. And that's what I think the city lacked. And that's what I wanted to contribute.
Dr. Nashley Cephas, stick around. We just have to do a couple quick ad reads. We'll come right back to you in 2 minutes. Don't anybody go anywhere. Boop. That's the ad noise. Hey, we did that ad. We did this ad.
That was your noise.
This ad. When I was looking up what Shaquille O'Neal had invested in, and at one point that boy had a money in 155 Five
that
Guys.
That gentleman, that accomplished athlete.
That fine athlete, Shaquille O'Neal, who pays for, you know, the general. I looked it up on Presearch.com. If you don't want to search through Google, if you decided you don't want to help the monopoly get bigger, you can use Presearch, and it uses all kinds of really cool different algorithms. This came about because the company that made this was a company that was offering sort of town and city pages for all different kinds of places all over the US. And when Google said, we think we'll do that too, they pushed that guy's stuff down to page 18. He said, well, I've got you. I'll make a new search engine.
Really throttled a lot of local businesses. But you also earn crypto rewards for using Presearch if you are logged in, not like Chris, who used it for three solid weeks without logging in.
I could have bought a Tesla twice.
You could have.
Also, Shaquille invested in Google at the very early days, back when it was like $85 a share. So nice. I just want to think about that while I go to sleep tonight. Okay. Hey, do you ever want a .online domain? I bet the Beanpath could be thrilled to have Beanpath.online. You can get it for a whole dollar for the first year. Just go to cbrogan.me/online, put in the code Chris in all caps, and then you will have it for $1. And we're sponsored by Deanna Shaw's show, Intercultural Spark. I couldn't remember if it was talks or not. Interculturalspark.com. It's live on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Wow, I wonder what that's like having a show for like one day a week.
She definitely does talk.
How do you?
When he said, "I wasn't sure." Is it intercultural talk? She does talk. Yeah, I've seen it.
Chat. How do you spark change in the world? That's what she wants to know, Deanna. Intercultural talk. There we go. All the reads. That was perfect.
Get Dr. felt fast. Cephas felt peppy. Back,
Dr. Cephas, you're back. Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
Tell us more smart things.
Yeah, same smart things now. You have a big enough job over at Amazon. You know, and the next thing you know, I mean, you were a CTO at PartPick or PickPart or whatever it's called. You get acquired into the giant monster. They're like, hey, turns out you're even smarter than we thought. And they put you even deeper into the belly of the whale. But now you have to be a CEO type person. You've got to be the visionary. You've got to, you know, at every turn, keep reminding people the mission and the values. You have to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with the greatest possible talent. So, it's, you know, it's not all on your shoulders. And you have to manage kind of the meat and potatoes, like don't run out of money. What's that been like for you? And how are you developing yourself to tackle those challenges?
Right. So, I mean, I think working somewhere like Amazon and other companies that I've worked at, I've had a short stints at GE during internships, IBM, smaller companies. There's one called Miller Transporters back at home. It's my very first internship in college. I think those skills definitely add up, and they help and they lend themselves towards, you know, being able to start a company, being able to manage people, being able to work in the nonprofit sector, as well as do a real estate development project, which has so many components to it, as I'm finding out. And so when you've been in situations like, for example, at Amazon, I had to, at one point I was managing up to 10 people directly to me. And they were all, you know, you have to be a little bit of a mother, a little bit of a counselor, a little bit of a problem solver and therapist, and just work things out. You got to keep the people happy so that they can be most productive at what they do. And you want to make sure they understand why we're doing what we're doing. I actually had very great ratings by the time I got to Amazon as a manager, after having been a CTO, after having worked at several other places. I think at one point I had the top ratings for any manager in my org. And of course I was the only Black person, the only Black woman. But I think there was something different about the way that I approached managing a team that was not the status quo. I wanted to make sure that people felt like they were heard. I wanted to make sure people felt like they were included and that, you know, you listen to the concerns and try to be, you know, solution oriented and making sure that, you know, we're working towards something and we're not just here to, you know, complain and just, you know, cause a scene. We're really about, you know, making this business work. And so when you take all those skills and you fast forward, you know, how do you create a nonprofit with no people and just, you know, some of your own money saved up? Okay, maybe we don't have enough money to bring on a full-time team, but we got three good part-time folks. So let's start with that. Let's see how many volunteers we can get for the Bean Path to work at these libraries. Once we get a really good foot in the door with a lot of people, we had a lot of people come into one of the libraries we were at in Jackson, Mississippi. Then we said, okay, let's expand. The one thing we do best at Amazon is scale. And knowing how to do that on a huge level. And so we started adding other libraries around the city. Even as a CTO working at the startup company, again, how do you make something out of nothing? Like before we raised the money, like we were just inching along. So, okay, well, we need a prototype. What's if you had the least amount of time in the world, but you want to spend it on the most important thing, what is that? How do you figure out what that is? I've taken the Strengths Finder test, the Strengths Finder test called Strengths Finder, and there's Strengths Finder 2.0. You can take the test. It tells you kind of like your top strengths. My top strength is a strategist, and it lends itself very well to being an engineer. And engineers solve problems using technology. And so if you know what the technology is, you know about the tools that come with that, and you know how to go about creating a strategy to solve a problem, you can pretty much do anything. And so now, you know, all the way here where we are, I have, you know, Amazon is still my full time. I have teams that help with the Bean Path, a team that helps with the Jackson Tech District development. And what we've done is we have assembled, okay, who is the best person to help on the real estate side? Who is the person that helps with the, we call it the boots on the ground team. Also, I need an assistant. I need someone who's virtual. I'm back and forth between Mississippi and Atlanta. Before COVID, I was in Seattle, in the Bay Area, then to Atlanta. I had flyer miles like out the wazoo, you know, and so you have to be flexible. You have to be adaptable. You have to have people that know how to use technology. Even before COVID, you have to be remote savvy with the technology and tools. And so it's a lot of strategy that goes into how do you do this with a full-time job. I'm laughing because I went to a massage therapist and he was like, you know, okay, we're gonna work the shoulders. Are you tense? Yeah, I'm a little tense. He's like, well, why are you so tense? I was like, well, I got this full-time job and I run three other businesses on the side. And I just had to laugh at myself when I told him that, because he was like, what? Wait, what? You know, and so, then that's the most important thing, the self-care. And so I have to take care of myself. I have to set boundaries. I have to let people know that, you know, yes, I am interested, but, you know, we can work out something where we have it in the time, in the schedule, and then make sure you prioritize things. So it's a lot that goes into it, and we're making it work.
See, boundaries to me would be like, I'm paying you to rub me, not to tell you about my life. Keep rubbing.
Right. Just be quiet and just do the job.
Less yakking, more relaxing. Elizabeth wants to know, do you recommend tech entrepreneurs learn about other industries? It's really inspiring to include commercial real estate as part of the sustainable funding.
Yes, and yes. I think it is so important for interdisciplinary work to happen. I think this is true across the board, whether you're in engineering or working for a big company or a startup. I think it is good to know a little bit about everything. I always say that I want every kid coming out of high school to know about finances and financing, basically how to budget and take care of their money and make their money grow. I want them to know how to code. I want them to also know about self-care and health. And I think those are, to me, at the core of pretty much, oh yeah, and real estate. I would like every kid to have a real estate license when they graduate from high school. I just think it's so important just to know what that is like to own property, what the benefits of that is. You have people who, even in their older age, you know, still don't really know how it all works to own property, to own a home, and the benefits that that affords you, and being able to take money, how to use credit and debt, and turn that into something that's sustainable and to grow a business. I think those skills should be taught across the board. And sadly enough, you know, we get through so much in the curriculum, which I'm not saying that isn't important either, but there are some things that I think could be better suited that people should know about. And so
I never used algebra, doctor.
I'm saying most people don't use algebra, calculus, pre like all those things that we did. Now granted, I love math and I love all those things, and I could probably point to where I have used them in different things. But if you are, you know, for example, wanted to be a business person, you're trying to operate a business, if not everybody's going to college, I would love for everybody to go to college, but not everybody's going to go to college. And so you have to figure out, okay, what else is there? What skills do these people need to know to be successful in life? And it can happen. In Silicon Valley, you have people that have not even graduated from high school that are running tech companies. Like, look at Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg. Look at all these top folks who don't have PhDs. And the narrative is always, oh, no, stay in school, go to school, get your PhD, get your master's. No, that's not what the narrative should be. The narrative should be, if you're so inclined, if you're interested, I want to enable you to do those things. But if not, there are other avenues, and that's not something that we talk about enough. So, yes to the multiple industries, yes to the real estate, the financing, the business, the self care, all that. Yeah.
Carol wants to know where you get your energy.
Oh man, I think I'm just inspired by, like I said, when the light bulb goes off, when you're working with someone who needs your help, and especially when they didn't know something about technology, and when they finally get it, the light bulb goes off and you see them just literally take off. It's just so inspiring to me to help. When I started working with PartPick, the startup company, Jule Burks, she was the CEO of the company. She's now at Google head of Google for Startups. But she was looking for someone to help her build this algorithm to recognize parts in pictures, because she was working at a parts company. She decided to leave the company and build this software, but she wasn't a technical person, so she needed someone to help her. And someone introduced her to me. I was in grad school at the time at Georgia Tech. And I normally, you know, I was trying to finish my PhD. When you're in that mode, you're just like, leave me alone, dude. I'm just trying to get out. I've been here too long. I'm a poor grad student. I'm just trying to finish. And so when I found out that it was her, though, someone who looked like me, one, and two, someone that had a really great idea that I could help with, I was more than happy to help. For me, it's all about how can I help that person reach their full potential, whether that means they ended up get it to a point and saying this is no longer something we need to pursue, or if that's something that they end up selling to Amazon. Either way, it was really just about me trying to help, and that's what motivates me.
The thing of beauty. I was going to say hi to Jacob, who showed up. Jacob is a high schooler who's a Twitch streamer and a video maker and that sort of a thing. And so nice, I want to make sure he hears all that going on, what you just explained.
Him. Welcome, Jacob. Welcome.
Jacob's
that's
been
perfect
on.
Perfect timing.
Jacob's been on as a guest. He's been on as a part of our mentor series where we have people come in and done some mentoring as well. So it was just kind of cool to drag him in right as you were talking about all this. It's incredible.
All the things that he should do.
Yeah.
I want to get your real estate license, Jacob. Yes.
You get your real estate license. So listen, one of the things I want to show is that, you know, any great interview, we should feel like we have like five more interviews before we get to the end of you, and we're never going to get there. So I just want to show some stuff real quick before I kick you out at some point, which is at Amazon. So first off, there's this fierce woman here. You read about her. She focuses on ensuring accuracy of machine learning, but then you just go down and down and down and you learn all this cool stuff. And I love this quote. I'm a Black woman with a Southern accent, who's been immersed in machine learning technologies as both a scientist and a consumer. And I've got a personal interest in making sure these technologies are developed and employed accurately and responsibly. It's at every turn. I feel like one of the big things we learned from last year was, besides learning how to garden, which I liked your video on that, I think what we also learned was that we have to make things political, even if we wish we didn't. How are you dealing with integrating your politics and the politics that need to be said and done and had in this project and your life?
Yeah, politics are in everything. I often have a debate with a good friend of mine about, you know, oh, no, this is not politics and everything. I believe now, after going through all this, there's definitely politics and everything. And so, and it pays you, you know, it really benefits you to understand what those politics are, because they're different in every given situation. And so, for example, on the Amazon side, you know, how do you make sure that, you know, these things are very important across the company in terms of fair and unbiased technologies for our customers, because we're obsessed with customers and we want to make sure that, you know, this is something that we're paying attention to. And so you want to make sure that everybody is on board, every stakeholder, whether that's your tech team or whether that's your upper leader, your leadership and your upper management, whether that's your public policy folks or people in government, or people who are, you know, concerned about the technology harming them. You have to consider all those things when you're considering, okay, how should you move next? There's always politics there. Also, on the development project, I think what I'm noticing is that, you know, people oftentimes resist change. I think there's a well-known theorem there that says that in the fact of inertia and trying to change directions is difficult. And so sometimes it's like steering a ship, right? It's not going to happen just like you mentioned the Teslas earlier. You know, you're not going to be able to move as fast as you want sometimes. You got to get buy-in. And sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes it's easy to do. But I can say that I'm just going to keep moving. And I keep telling myself, okay, regardless of what happens, I'm just going to keep moving. Either you're going to join me or just get out of my way. And so the more I keep moving, the more people see that she's not going to stop. She's still going. Oh, we might as well get on board, you know? And so that's just how I move. And that's how I try to approach it and making sure that as these people are getting buy-in and getting on board, I will give them the opportunity to you know, show their support, especially if I really need their support. But if not, there's always another way. And that's how I try to work it. I just try to be honest, a woman of my word, and everything else I believe will follow.
How can people support your work? We had a couple questions along those lines.
So we are definitely would love for you to support us. So if you can, if you're interested in donating or giving a charitable contribution to our nonprofit, The Bean Path, we would love for you to go to thebeanpath.org/donate. You can donate in many different ways there. PayPal, there's other ways, Amazon, etc. So definitely check us out. You can also follow us on social media. If you're interested in volunteering, there's a place to sign up for to volunteer, or if you just need tech help. You may be someone who really just needs to talk to somebody about something and you don't really know where else to go. That's why we're here. And so definitely check out our website and follow us on social media. Also sign up for our newsletter. Also, if you want to support the Jackson Tech District project, the real estate development project, you can go onto our website, jxntechdistrict.com, and sign up for our newsletter on the front page. Also, you can follow us on social media at Jackson Tech District. We're getting that started as well. And last but not least, you know, there are investment opportunities. We are raising funds, raising capital. Anyone interested, definitely reach out. There's also my personal social media at PhenomenaAshley. You can reach out. You can DM me. You can request a speaking engagement, different things like that. We'd love to talk with you more. So thank you so much.
That was all the things. And I somehow magically was able to type phenomenally and not screw that up, so I could just show my, I was like, I'm absolutely going to blow the
in. You
the,
did. I saw great concentration on your
in
face
the Nama. I was typing the Nama part. Phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. I have to think about it too, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah.
You know what I end up doing? I sing the Eminem song as I'm typing it. Yeah. Phenomena. And then I'm like, just getting it back.
Yep, yep.
I want to. I have sort of a weird left fieldy kind of a thing. So
really, do you?
I already know what Carrie's.
That's very
do.
Interesting.
And this question comes all the way from the second stall, the men's room at the Home Depot, just outside of Lansing. You know, I've never been able to locate a restroom at the Home Depot. Not a once. I just go in the drywall aisle. No one's around.
Yeah.
Well, I just saw this news article today. This is nothing to do with your business or anything. You mentioned NFL earlier, though. I was like, So NFL had to stop what a process that they were using called race norming, which presumed black players had lower cognitive function to begin with, so that every time they were doing testing for things like concussions, they were saying, well, they're not normally as smart as white people anyway. That's what that report is saying. And they just, and by the way, two, not even like just halted. Like, we'll get to that in a bit. That's crazy. So when we talk about there's no politics in business, or there's no politics in what you're doing, this is still the environment. I brought it up because I know that some of the impetus for this, not all of it, but some of the impetus came for, you know, watching things like George Floyd unravel, watching what 2020 did for a lot of us. Is that part of the fire? Is that part of who makes Dr. Natalie Cephas?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, last year I think was a turning point for a lot of folks who, you know, finally got it. You know, they finally understood that, okay, this is a problem and we need to work on this. We need to deal with it. I think that some people have been in denial. Some people literally have paid no attention to it. I definitely, and I think a lot of people of color resonate with that feeling and knowing what it's like to be, you know, singled out and treated differently in different situations, and just, you know, feeling unfair, but also feeling like that's just the way it is and nothing's going to change. That's how some people have just set in their mind. And so for me, I have to think opposite. I have to think that, okay, there has to be a way. We have to steadily progress, even if it feels like we're only getting an inch. It's an inch more than what we had before, and that's my mentality. I like to think that in a place like Mississippi, or down south in general, whereas we have been overlooked, we've often been thought of as the people who talk slow and are less intelligent because of that, you know, for you know, all these crazy reasons. And so I'm here to say we're in the South. We're doing some big things. As they say, the South's got something to say. Even if you think about Atlanta, they say Atlanta influences everything from the civil rights movement to the big music and hip hop culture to also the tech ecosystem that has grown and rose, as they call it, the Silicon Valley of the South, of the Southeast, definitely of the Southeast. And so how do you use that momentum to make change and to continue making change? Whereas some people are thinking, okay, this is a great tech development, but this is going to unravel into a lot of different other areas too. It's going to unravel into building economy. It's going to unravel into helping people get above that poverty line. It's going to make sure that we get more diverse people into tech fields and more diverse tech companies, and getting more buy-in from those other places like Silicon Valley, New York, and other places outside of the Southeast to take a look and take us seriously. And so this is an entire movement that is just beginning, and I'm happy to kind of be a part of it.
Well, I can tell you that when I go to presearch.com and I look up Mississippi Tech Hub, it is all you all day.
Oh,
inside
wow.
This plan, new entrepreneurial tech hub coming to downtown Jackson. I didn't even say Jackson, I said Mississippi. Meet the black woman from 12 abandoned acres. Amazon AI developer brings
tech. You didn't even Jackson. Stake that keyword.
I got to look at some of those myself.
Look at you. Look at all that news they got. Listen, we have two more things we do in this show, and we kick you out. You have to go fend for yourself. You got to make your own stuff.
I can't get that feeling. It's going to be fine.
click this one.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
And there were a lot of people vying for this one today.
You know okay. Who you're going to pick. You put us through this every time.
I'm picking Carol. So bold and inspiring, she said. Well, safety. Carol Alleluf. Carol Alleluf from Montreal.
Thank you person so much.
Person of the day. Get you an apple.
She makes animations.
She does. She's an one of the tech explainer videos and that sort of a thing. You know, yeah. So you try to explain ML to people with about as many brain cells as me. That's what happens.
Ooh, we should norm for your intelligence level in those tests.
No, be like, oh my gosh. If you ask AI to work on my intelligence level, nothing's getting done in this.
Stop it. Right. You're brilliant. You do this think is, very differently, though.
This is why they can't have jetpacks. All right. So we ask one last question at the end of every backpack show, which is what goes in your backpack. This could be something like a really good pork sandwich with maybe a nice coleslaw. I bet Jackson makes good coleslaw. It could be something like that, or it could be something metaphorical, like planning for the future. So what, Dr. Natalie Cephas, should we put in our backpack to be more successful in the next couple of years?
Wow. So definitely some water. Got to stay hydrated. But I think it's a little bit deeper to that. To me, water, it cleanses. It washes away a lot of things that shouldn't be there. And again, it just kind of goes back to self-care, getting a chance to, you know, refresh and reset yourself with whatever that is, whether that's water or, you know, getting some fresh air or going on a vacation. I think it's super important on the backpack trail. So am I saying more than one thing? Or
if you want, you said water sounded like you just needed it as your default to feel confident. Okay. You know, look, I can tell you, watch this. I'll say, hey, Carrie, what's something that someone could put in their backpack? Something physical.
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. See, you never would have guessed that one.
DJ Cummerbund.
DJ Cummerbund. Carrie, what would be something metaphorical that just any old person could put in their backpack?
No, this is all the time. I can't think of anything. Kindness, maybe?
You can put kindness in a backpack.
You can.
Dr. Nashley, what we got?
I will bring my cape because
I love it.
You don't always have to show it. You just got to know it's there, right? Sometimes it gets tough. Like, I'll be honest, it is no easy feat to be the first here, the first there, the first to do that. And sometimes I just wish that, you know, can I just not be the first one sometimes doing stuff? You know, maybe I need to sit down somewhere. But anyway, you know, it
just be a path.
You just yeah, just be the path. So but I do think you know, you gotta know that it's there. You know, they say all heroes don't wear capes, but the hero himself has to know that he or she is you know, carrying that cape around. And sometimes that means you have to endure and just make it through. So yeah.
Cape it is. We're going with it. Well, I grew up totally loving superheroes, very young age, very much into that. And, you know, my mom was known for sewing me costumes. And I'll tell you, the first costume she made didn't have a cape, but it sure was indicative of what I grew up to be. So let me tell you what she made me, my little brother Tom, and my cousin Todd, who passed away, rest his soul.